Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 723 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by the duo of James Dean Rader, rocking his takedown sweatshirt, looking sharp, as always. Always the best dressed, sometimes the worst dressed, but today's best dressed. Ben Funky Askren is here. And we've got real wrestling to talk about. There was an awesome duel meet last night, and it was such a treat. And I was saying before the show went on, this was before I started yelling at Ben about Thanksgiving food, I was saying it's great how NCAA Wrestling has been having these duels on weekdays. We got a Wednesday duel. I know Wisconsin wrestled Buffalo on a different sort of day. I forget, November 1st. Tonight we have a Penn State duel. It's great. All these programs should do that. It gives you a little more shine and allows us wrestling fans to watch more wrestling instead of it all being on Friday and Sunday. Then you just lose out to the Blue Bloods every weekend.
Uh-oh. Am I good to go? Yeah. Okay, cool. Look Ben, frozen for a second.
Okay. You're still frozen.
Hey, that was a good duel last night.
Yes, it was.
Am I good now?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Restart right, your laptop guys. Browser, says Tyler. So we'll get into it. We're going to talk about this Nebraska-UNC duel while Ben figures out his internet or whatever's going on. The duel started really competitive. It ended up being kind of a runaway for Nebraska, but there was a ton of like super, super competitive matches. We'll just get into it to the main storyline.
Yeah. It was such a good duel. There was a man. 33, 41, 49, 57 were such good matches. 74 was a good match.
65 was a good match. The third period, everyone should watch. You weren't?
I mean, the guys just weren't that good, so I wasn't that into it.
Oh, what a hater. I think, you know.
All right, okay.
Elitist Ben. My gosh, I could see you just in your wrestling room. He's like, these kids, I'm just going to move on. I'm going to move on to, where's my next Keegan?
Well, obviously, you know, like I say, at 157, when you have two highly ranked guys, is much better than some of the other ways. 57 was awesome. 41 was really good. 49 was
what? Fun. 41 was dreadful. It was so boring. There was like no action.
Oh, you know why? Maybe because I watched it in fast forward. Maybe that's why I thought it was all right.
Okay. Yeah, 41 was brutal. It was like neither guy. I mean, Keijon Clark fired off probably. Definitely fired off more shots. Red was just incredibly reluctant to pull the trigger. And then when he did, he got in super, super deep and almost scored, but then he didn't score. And then Keijon finally blew through on the double leg. I love the two-minute sudden victory. But the main storyline, national champion Austin O'Connor goes down 5-2. This was something no one could have seen. What?
I basically called it.
No.
Wait, what?
Come on.
No, we have a clip. Yesterday's show, I said this is going to be a good match, and you two both poo-pooed me.
Uh-oh. I have no memory of this.
A clip from yesterday?
Yes. 57, Peyton Round, Austin O'Connor.
Yeah. Austin's going to work him, right?
Yeah, kind of feels. Who's going 49 for Nebraska?
Yeah. Keijon Clark and
Alex. That's right. That's right. I basically, in so many words, said Peyton Robb is going to win 5-2.
I prepared
a statement. One, that's completely out of context. There's no way to know what we were actually talking about in that moment. Two, than my actual point is, JD, you did suggest it, but you didn't go so far as to say, I'm calling it. We did poo-poo the competitiveness of it, of which it was quite competitive.
And it wasn't that competitive, but on the other side, I mean, was O'Connor, was he close to a takedown?
Yes, very, very, very close. He had the one, it was like a kind of a go behind, shuck by type of situation. He got to the rear standing, dropped down to the leg, couldn't finish. He had both ankles, and then Rob scooted one out before he could actually get control of them both. And then what were your thoughts on the first takedown? Was, I thought he might have had it a little bit before, and then I rewatched it, and I'm like, oh, well, it's a really tough
very
call.
Close.
Very, very close.
I mean, he did have both feet, so that was. That's part of the call is he captured one leg, he got the other foot. You generally speaking, that's a takedown. I mean, the way he had the foot was kind of precarious because O'Connor was kind of still a little bit up off of his hip. I say takedown.
Yeah, I thought it was a takedown as well. And then he gets O'Connor. So it was huge because it was a takedown with like 2 seconds left.
Right.
So he got the full ride. I don't think Rob would have been able to ride him, 30 seconds. Although he did get 32 seconds of riding time, so maybe he would have. But the timing of your takedowns are huge, and he got it at the right time. And then, O'Connor did not give himself but one real legitimate opportunity. He wasn't able to get to legs but the one occasion. And then beautiful sucker drag iced it. 5-2, and it was kind of like a not so dramatic win for Rob. You just left thinking like, okay, Rob was just a better wrestler that night. I guess the question is, okay, now as we look forward at the 157 landscape, as we look forward toward Austin O'Connor's prognostication, and same for Peyton Rob, how does this change the overall 157 landscape? Do we view this as, okay, Rob won here, O'Connor lost, but O'Connor's fine and he's going to be in the national title mix? Or does it change how you kind of view 157 totally?
Hey, I have a great answer for you, but Tyler wants me to click over to the Zoom link, so I'm sorry with technical difficulties. I'll be
That's
back
okay.
in like 30 seconds-ish.
No problem, no problem. I want JD's take on this anyways. He's the resident Peyton Rob expert now.
I think O'Connor doesn't draw significantly, and I think this just to me, my takeaway was more Peyton Rob is very good than O'Connor is not as good up a weight. He didn't look small. He looked like Austin O'Connor. I thought Peyton Rob just looked really good.
Yeah, there was a little bit. I saw when I tweeted about the result, I had a couple comments that were like, O'Connor's too small, needs to go back down. And I didn't necessarily see it that way. I don't think he got horsed around. He wasn't doing the horsing, and he's going against a really physical, really tough 157 in Peyton Rob, a guy who has been at 65. Now he's down at 157. So I don't think he's that small. I think, it's O'Connor's first really tough match at 157, and it's against a really good guy, a guy that made the U23 world teams, been training, working really hard, and it really showed. And Peyton Rob coming out of high school this is not an under the radar guy. He was super, super good in high school.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, buddy. Hit me.
I don't know what the deal was with VMix today. It wasn't working very well.
It's okay.
I view it the same way you guys do. Maybe Peyton Rob took a step up. I actually kind of forgot for a second that Peyton Rob was up at 65 last year before coming back down to 57. I don't think Austin O'Connor was small or got horsed. I just think he got out-wrestled. That sucker drag's not really a power move. Finishing a single leg, not really a power move. I don't think it has anything to do with the size. So I guess I don't want to write Austin O'Connor off or even knock him down at, say, a tier. Let's just see how he does. I'm sure he's going to have a handful more good matches. And, it could be just a little blip. It's early season. It's still November.
I will say, though, O'Connor's schedule, looking forward, Ed's got not bad in February, but
they hit any tournaments?
Southern Scuffle, but I don't think he's going to meet any of the super elite guys at 57. He might not have a great seed going into NCAA.
What? Hold on.
Well, if you look at the field,
Missouri,
Missouri's outside. Jake Hughes.
He's not super highly ranked.
Yeah.
No. Cornell's not going to have a super elite guy. Northern Colorado, I don't think so. Oklahoma State.
Frantic.
Wyatt Sheets for Oklahoma State, if he's there.
But he's not that
Stanford, ranked. Virginia Tech, no. Man, yeah, you're right. So he's, even if he runs the table, he's going to probably need some help from some of these other guys if he wants a top four seed. It's going to be probably pretty tough for him.
So the North Carolina's not at Midlands because they have been.
Yeah, they're, looks like they're scuffling.
Okay.
Wow. So with that in mind.
That's tough. That's right where you got to plan your schedule correctly, because you take one L and all of a sudden it's, you're kind of on the outside looking in if you're not in one of the better conferences.
You know, it for as I look at the landscape, it's 157 with David Carr, number one. O'Connor currently number two. He'll drop somewhat, although how far, I'm not sure. Ryan Deacon, three. Teamer, four. Brayton Lee, five. Man, I'm not seeing a scenario where those guys are all passing him in my mind. I like, if Ryan Deacon and Austin wrestled next week, I don't know who I would pick to win. I actually think he might match up pretty well against Deacon.
Sure. But we're just talking about from a seeding perspective.
Yeah,
correct?
I feel like
Carr's Big 12, and then Teamer's Pac 10, and Deacon's Big 10. So, I mean, those guys aren't really going to see each other. Obviously, some of the Big 10, between Brayton Lee and Young and Luan, all will. David Carr is going to have Frantic and JQs. But, yeah, I mean, Peyton Robb could obviously continue to move up too, which would then kind of elevate the loss for O'Connor, because if he becomes, you know, if he beats, say, if he beats Luan, Caleb Young, and Brayton Lee, which wouldn't be all that shocking, then it could look better for him.
True. I'm looking here at the schedule for Iowa State. They've got Iowa, of course, so that'll be Caleb Young. He'll hit Kendall Coleman. He'll hit Teamer. Pretty tough schedule, although where are the tournaments for Iowa State?
They only got the Last Chance Open.
Well, where's, like,
Midlands? Are there legit no tournaments?
Normally they go to CKLV, but they scheduled Iowa for that Sunday.
So they're not hitting CKLV or Vegas.
They got the Harold Nichols Open.
CKLV is Vegas.
I mean, CKLV or Midlands is what I meant to say.
No.
They always go to...
No.
They might send, like, non-starters to CKLV.
Wow. How did Northwest Kansas Technical College get on the schedule?
Yeah.
That'll be a for real, one. Though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Possible. What?
I have no idea. Don't ask me. I'm sure Dresser has a plan with this schedule. But, yeah, no tournaments.
Wait, what is the schedule? Hold on. Say, they have MSU Northern and Providence, who I've never heard of. What? Am I looking at the right schedule?
I'm kind of wondering that too, but this is it. This is the 21. Yeah.
The Last Chance Open is legit on schedule. I was joking, but it's not a joke. It is on there.
Yeah, there's a couple MSU Northern. Yeah, in January they're hitting MSU Northern and Providence. Same.
Well, I've literally never heard of Providence. Maybe they are real legit taking their varsity to either the UNI Open or the Harold Nichols. They probably are, because that's a home tournament. Maybe they're going to the UNI, but that is weird that there's no tournaments, right? Usually teams hit one of the main three, which would be the Scuffle, Midlands, or Vegas, not on the schedule. And then obviously the other one this year is that National Duels competition, which has 12 pretty solid teams. They're not hitting that either.
Yeah, I will say their dual schedule is pretty tough. It is not.
It's scrappy for a non-Big Ten.
It's scrappy. So they'll hit some guys. Carr, who we're actually talking about right now, is going to hit some guys.
Yeah.
So, okay. So for O'Connor, though, I mean, I'm kind of more interested in, the seeding. He may be in some trouble there, but there's so much that's going to happen. It's almost pointless to discuss. But
it's weird that as much as the ACC's come up, and you know, maybe the guys could, they don't really have a ton of good guys at 157.
No.
I mean, you know, maybe Ed Scott can make a move, but
he'd have to make a huge move. But bottom line, how do you view Austin O'Connor moving forward?
I don't view him really any differently. Lost one match. Unless he started losing a couple more, I'm not all that worried about it.
Do you think Peyton Rob can win a national title?
No.
No. Why not?
Hey, I mean, and my take on Peyton Rob would be that this is a lot of people, and honestly, maybe this goes with Alex O'Connor a little bit, is that Peyton Rob rarely has the ability to blow people out of matches, and he's generally in tight matches. Even when he loses against really good people, he's in the matches. And at NCAAs, generally, you have to win minimum four pretty damn good ones, right? I mean, maybe if you're the one and they're the 16, it's a blowout. But if you're the five and there's a 12 and they're on 16, that's a good one. You got to win four really tight ones in a row. If that's how you wrestle, man, that's tough.
Yeah. So kind of circling back on the start of this duel or some other matches in this duel, 17-year-old Spencer Moore wrestled 24-year-old Liam
Cronin. Was it really?
He said it was his 24th birthday. They said it in the broadcast.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
That's up there. That is quite a disparity in age. And Spencer Moore was competitive. It's crazy to me.
It was a good match.
It's crazy to me that Spencer Moore is the starter as a 17-year-old when this team has Julian Tagg on it. But that's just, I guess that shows or
Tags didn't really pan out.
I'm so surprised that, I mean, I don't know them at all. I just watched them wrestle and thought they were both really good, especially Julian. But Gabe had the amazing 2019 junior run.
Beat RBY,
beat a lot of really good dudes.
Jamie Hernandez.
Yes, in this duel. Who we just saw. And yeah. It's surprising that they have to tap a 17-year-old in right away when you've got a guy that's been on the team 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was in on, he was in on, it wasn't clean or anything, but there was a scramble in the match where if he would have won the scramble, obviously the match would have been tied up. And Cronin's only takedown was, to your point earlier about the end of the takedown period, it was right at the end of the second period. So that was nice because it's a 2-point takedown, not a 1-point takedown. Really impressive out of Spencer Moore. You got to assume if he's only 17, he's going to get quite a bit better throughout the year.
I would make that assumption as well. Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing. It's very rare we've seen someone so young in the lineup, and how's he going to be in March? It'll be fun to watch him. I think he makes the tournament.
Yeah. 133. Well, I wonder if he's going to turn 18 before March? Because if not, has there been a 17-year-old in the NCAA tournament? It can't be very many. It's got to be really limited.
I know David McFadden was super young, but I don't know if he was 17 at NCAAs. I think he might have been 17 when he graduated high school and maybe throughout a portion of his freshman year, but I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be. I wonder if someone could provide us the data on the youngest ever competitor at the NCAA wrestling tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his goal. Maybe that's why he graduated early.
Making history. Jamie Hernandez handled Alex Thompson after giving up the first takedown. Yep. Thompson at 33, I don't know. I've been pretty high on Hernandez for a while, and this is a match he was supposed to win and did. Keijon Clark, Chad Red, super close match, not a lot difference. Keijon was slightly more offensive and finished the double leg, and that was kind of it. There was a lot of just kind of looking at each other in this match.
I did watch it and fast forward, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, that's a great match. I was like, what?
I was thinking about a couple of the overtime where they kind of mixed up overtime. And I love the 2-minute overtime. I think it does put this kind of emphasis of like, you dudes got to get a takedown. You can't, 1 minute is so short. You can't sit this 1 minute out. You needed it. It's 2 minutes. It's a long time.
Yes. Completely agree.
I would really be curious to see at the end of the year if they do a stat, like the amount of matches, the percentage of matches that go to overtime that are determined in the first overtime period versus the previous year. I bet it's like double, triple.
Mm-hmm. Triples. So 49 was a fun one with Lovett and Sherman. Lovett got the first takedown. Sherman got away 18 seconds. Then Sherman gets a takedown off a slide.
I wouldn't have called that a takedown. I didn't like that takedown.
You didn't?
I don't like, I mean, I think I texted you about this. I don't like the rear standing immediate takedown because, I mean, this dude's, he's controlling it for about 0.3 seconds. Like, it's almost nothing. As soon as he hits down, Lovett starts rolling. I mean, it's like, you didn't really control him. You didn't really take him down. Like, there should be a little bit of reaction time there. And I was frustrated with that. Unless that leads me to another topic. Coleman Scott is so whiny. And I remember now going to Midlands a couple years ago. This is because, you know, I've been out of the college coaching game for a while. Like, watching all the college coaches and how much they whine about the referee's calls, I wouldn't be mad if they did something more like, you give them an extra brick or two, and if you ain't throw a brick, you can't say nothing. You can't say nothing. Like, just sit down there and coach your athletes. Don't say nothing to the referees.
Well, that will never happen. Is,
I wish. I mean, it's
kind of entertainment.
So much. Oh, it's so much whining. It's so pathetic. It's like you're just groveling to this referee. Just shut up, sit there, and coach your athletes. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, I think it's maybe in the coach's mind, it's a reinforced behavior. They think they can work the ref, so they focus on that. I think it's a control thing too. It's like, well, I can't control the action. What can I control? Maybe it's my influence over the officials. Yeah. Well, it's not always the best look.
It's not the best look. So, Christian, on the outside looking in, because I know, like you, what you just said. Some of the coaches think they can kind of work the referees. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I think there's a couple coaches who maybe strike the fear of God in a few of these referees. But let's take them out of it. The majority of college coaches, do they have any effect on the referee but to annoy the crap out of them?
Probably not. No, I would say very little, minimal. Very effect. Little.
I mean, listen,
a seasoned ref, it should be almost none.
Almost none. But I do think they annoy them, and then they get, hopefully the refs don't make worse calls against them. But I think it happens sometimes for sure.
There was a study. I remember Martin actually pointing it out to me.
I remember this, I think, yeah.
So the percentage of – it's a football study. It may have been 538 or whatever that website is. They just do all the mm-hmm. numbers stuff. But there were pass interference calls were disproportionately called on the sideline of the
– opposing bench.
Yes. They would advocate for it, and flags would come more likely at a – like. Pretty significant rate. I could find the study, but I'm just referring to
it. Right now you're arguing that the coaches do have an effect.
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm pointing that out.
Well, you said
they
didn't. Now I'm confused.
Well, I'm also citing another side of it, which would suggest that maybe I'm wrong or you're wrong, Ben.
Well, I mean, it's possible, but obviously those calls likely – so here is I would say the difference is those calls are very likely happening in real time. And if a coach could bring attention as it's happening to a referee, where a referee, he doesn't have, there's not enough referees where they can just focus on one, a singular person. Whereas in wrestling, generally, if the guy's going to whine, it's going to be after the call, right?
Right.
And unless they're actually going to go review it on the film, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just, for me, when I'm watching as a spectator, it feels like such a waste of time. Like,
yeah.
Stop whining. Go sit down. Like, the call's already been made. If you want to protest, protest. If you don't want to protest, go sit down and coach your athletes. That's how I feel about it.
I don't. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that's probably all I'll say about it.
Tyler found that study, by the way.
Yeah.
What do you got to say?
It was 538. I mean, listen.
No, JD, what's JD got to say? He doesn't care. He wants to yell at referees.
Yeah, I don't think it does much. And I think it can be distracting to an athlete too sometimes.
That's my thing. I'm thinking like, dude, I'm in a battle right now, and I don't think of it as my coach has my back. It's like my coach is whining for calls and stomping. It's like, I'm like, this is just kind of chaos. This is not like, this isn't helpful. It's like just kind of stirring things up.
Just like, I don't think an athlete should dwell on a bad call. I don't think a coach should necessarily dwell on a bad call either. But I mean, I see the point for a coach getting after a ref if it's a blatantly bad call.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you don't pick your spots at all, it's just like, it becomes white noise.
Yeah.
If you,
the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. But if you like actually wait and are thoughtful and don't waste a challenge on a call, then, you know, lose your challenge.
Yeah.
You just have to pick your spots and be a little more thoughtful with it, I think. And this is not even this is not just a referendum on Coleman or it's like it's a
there's a lot of them.
There are so many. I would say more wine than don't, for sure.
Yeah, I was actually thinking Manning was pretty good last night, but
he can
a lot.
He can be wild.
But when they're winning a lot, it's easier to not whine because you're winning a lot, you know. True. So there's that part. They won 8 matches last night, so it's probably easy for them to not whine at all.
Yes. But yeah, there's plenty of whining in college wrestling. It's not isolated to any singular team.
Yes.
So yeah, but this match, Love It Sherman, I thought the most interesting thing, what do you think I'm going to say the most interesting thing or the most surprising thing about this match was, Ben? It was 1 point difference. Thing.
Yeah. I continue to be impressed by it. I don't know what you're going to say. I'll let you say what you're impressed by and then I'll give my take on it. I have no idea.
I was surprised.
Oh, didn't choose bottom? Maybe that?
Exactly. He got away.
Love It's a problem.
He's a problem, but he got away off a restart in 18 seconds.
Yep, he did.
So, close match. You'd already been taken down. It was tied. That ultimately is the point difference that he lost by. Love It got away, and he did. He just went neutral. I was surprised. I'm not saying it's the wrong call, and just because it didn't work doesn't mean it's the wrong call, but I was surprised he didn't go under a guy he just got away from.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really hate the choice. I thought I was impressed that he got away the first time, but I think maybe it's one of those things where you say, like, don't play with fire. Like, you got away one time. Like, don't mess with it again because Love It is good on top.
I'm with you. CP was kind of going hard after him, but also, like, it's a partially, like, a momentum thing. Like,
yeah,
give yourself 2 minutes from – and obviously, you know, hindsight, he didn't get the takedown – but, like, give yourself 2 minutes to work versus the – I know you got out. But if you're not comfortable there and you think, okay, I did it once, that like, that was my time. Like, if you think, okay, if I go under Love It 5 times, I can escape in under 30 seconds, you know, 1 or 2 times.
Right.
Did you use up that time in the first period? So maybe you want all 2 minutes to work for a takedown. You don't want to break up your momentum too.
Yeah. Or maybe he can't hold you down.
Well, while there's a chance that he's going to get away, I think there's a probably equally dangerous chance that he gets ridden out. Hey, you know what I thought of? That would be a great stat. Wrestling doesn't know stats. We're all in agreement on that, correct?
Right.
What if we had a full period rideout stat?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fun stat to have.
I love it. How many full period rideouts does Love It have?
Yeah, I mean him Wick's got a boatload. Yeah. So Love It's gotta be up there. I mean, this, you know, he's not a really dominant turner, but he is a very good rider.
Here's another thing about that match. The final sequence with Sherman in on the leg, man,
he got them bendy knees.
Well, it was close. I mean, did you think it was two?
I didn't think it was two, but it was very close.
It was super, super close. I was kind of like, it was kind of like the Rob O'Connor first takedown, different scenario, but I was kind of like, it is, it isn't. I'm not sure. I was really back and forth on what that was.
I don't think he ever had control and had him down. I mean, the one part was Love It is so good at getting, because of his flexibility, it's so good at getting his hips back up. You know what I'm saying? He's got that super bendy knee hip combo where he can like pop his hips up off of the mat where a lot of people would be stuck on their butt. So that helps. The one time he almost cleared and got two, then Love It got down to the crotch and then kind of kept them parallel. And then by the time Sherman circled back two in front of him, he was able to pop his hips up again. So I definitely say no two. And I would have went no two on the first one also.
No take. You'd be Ben Slow too if you were a ref.
Yeah, I mean, listen, folks, they ask the folks to lose control, and there should be a second or second half of
technically by the rule book though.
What's up?
Yeah, you sound like those refs that give you their interpretation of what they think the rule should say, and then you call it.
Well,
that
listen,
way.
I have a better understanding of folks that wrestling than pretty much anyone on planet Earth, so I will give you my interpretation, and it's correct. So deal with it.
Well, it's your interpretation, but it's like. If that's not how the refs... Listen,
I'm just telling you what the rule book should say. That's what I'm saying.
Should say. Exactly. Exactly. I hear that.
So I would just cross out passages and say this is wrong by my own rules. I mean,
you
kind of
should.
So
you should do an amended version of the folk style rule book. That would be awesome.
Be on the rules committee.
So, I mean, what I would say to that is there are most times It's, you know, in the reaction time, it should be held just a tiny little second longer. But there's a handful of scenarios where the referees just don't quite understand the scrambles at a deep enough level. And so they have the takedown, or that the athlete has control, and then they're waiting. And it's like 15 seconds because the referee doesn't get what's going on. And then eventually I think they give up and just throw a two up there. Yeah. Which that part is frustrating also.
Totally agree with that. You look at this duel, it was 8-2, but they lost 1 point, 3 points with O'Connor, 1 point, 1 point. This very easily could have gone the other way. An interesting match was Clay Lout, Mikey Labriola. Lout was in and close. in, just couldn't finish, and Labriola is tough to finish on. But Lout, I don't even know if he's going to be their starter. It might be Kane, I'm not sure, but I thought he looked really, really good. I was super impressed. He just couldn't quite get the finishes.
Yeah, I was impressed by Clay Lout. Also, I thought Labriola was going to kind of run away with that one, and he obviously got the one takedown, and that was it. And then Lout was in, what, three or four more times?
Yeah, shots.
Yes, quick quality single shots, good attacks, but just what obviously wasn't able to come away with the finish. So yeah, I was impressed by him.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like you. You may be dismissive of the Bubba Wilson Santiago match, but I actually think they're both pretty scrappy. And Santiago, I think, is going to be pretty good. He was that third period. You should go back and watch it. It was extremely exciting. Santiago was, every time I thought Santiago was doing enough to get the stall call that would have tied it, Wilson would get in there on like a little, he would take a really actual committed shot and be like, oh, maybe you can't call him. And then Santiago would go. I think both these guys are pretty
the game perfect.
Yeah, he kind of did it perfect. But I think both guys are tough, and maybe there'll be some egg on Ben's face for being so dismissive of this match.
Listen, I think these guys they could get ranked. Are they going to All-American this week class? I would be really
no.
Shocked.
Bob Wilson just lost to my guy, Matt Malcolm.
Who's Matt?
Kind of got worse.
Who's Matt Malcolm? Yeah. Oh, that's a Kearney guy.
That's right, baby.
They didn't party on him.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, Chad and Lance were a little tamer today. Well, Chad lost, but... it was an exciting duel. It was quite a treat on a Wednesday night. Let's keep that going.
Does North Carolina not have any better options up top? They have someone hurt because they were kind of getting... hammered a little bit, 84-97 heavyweight. Those were kind of all ugly.
Well, Max Shaw was out, but he's apparently injured. But he just lost to someone from Life University, I believe. So that's
that could have been because of injury.
Could have been because of injury.
I don't know. I didn't see the match.
So at heavyweight, Whitman is probably their best guy. At 197, Shaw is probably their best guy. At 84. Gavin Kane might be the guy there. Clay Lout, 74. Well,
Kane's been at 74 so far this season.
But maybe, is he going to go up now?
If he can't beat Lout, he's got to go up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that could be what's happening there.
I mean, Lout's the one, he wrestled 84 against Ohio State, so. They're in a snip-snap situation.
Could be a snip-snap, but the bottom line is Hunter Queen is not one of their best. Is not their best 84 or 74 and won't be the ACC starter barring injury. It'll be Gavin or Clay or some combination there, you have to assume. Yeah. So a little help on the way with 84-97 for sure, but I don't think it would have changed the results of those matches. Max Shaw's not beating Eric Schultz, and I don't think Kane is beating Taylor Venz either.
Yeah, I agree.
So there it is. Fun duel.
Wednesday night duels. Tremendous.
Talking about getting up to the officials. Every weekend. Taylor Venz, the official, was kind of funny.
Taylor Venz.
When he was just like,
that was funny.
He was. That was right, too. It's like, where the ref was, I think he thought he would probably be able to see it from the feet side, but you got to get out to the head there. I don't think he was pinned, but you got to be there. Okay, so we got a ton more to get to. We've got a Thursday night duel. Penn State is taking on Army, which on paper doesn't sound fair because Army has tanks. But this is just a wrestling team, so it's going to be a more even fight. And we'll get to see Penn State against another team that's probably not on their level. But Army always scraps hard. Anything of note you're looking for in this duel, Ben? Anything you're most excited about?
Well, Army did upset them at the Black Knight Open last year, right? So Scarlet Knight, there's some type of knight. I don't know which kind of knight they are. They are a knight, and they upset Penn State last year. So, no, I don't think Army's going to have a solid lineup, but they don't really have any.
PJ Ogunsanya is fun.
Yeah. Ogunsanya is a goer.
Yes, he is.
Could be... Versus Bo Bartlett?
Yes.
Yes.
At 49.
Boom.
Who's a stopper.
The guy might be in trouble.
Well, the troops are also my guys, so.
You're a great American.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Caleb said he liked the Nebraska singles because they have an American flag on them. I was very proud that he said that.
Here we go.
And he's like, I like it has the names really big.
57 will be fun, too. Whoever Penn State throws out. But Marcus Hartman is decent.
Yeah, he's tough. Versus Bearclaw. Bearclaw's. It'll be, it won't be Bloomer, right? It's Lee or Bearclaw is going to be the starter at 57, so... We'll get to see a little bit of an upgrade there for Penn State. 25.
It'll be Indian Outlaw.
Half Cherokee. So that'll be good. 25, I don't think we'll see any changes there for Penn State.
The Drew Hildebrand thing was like starting to pick up steam last weekend, and now it's really cooled off. I mean, I saw it so many times on social media.
Well, you think people are just going to keep just saying the same thing over and over again for – months?
Well, usually when that many people start talking, it's like something, an action is imminent, you know, like mm-hmm. something's going to happen very shortly. The athlete's going to make an announcement. The team's going to make an announcement. He's going to be on campus working out, right? It's something like usually when there's action like that, it's something like that follows.
Well, the word on Kennedy was he was at Penn State or going to Penn State in October, September after the whole fallout there. So everyone kind of knew that was happening. I wasn't announced till literally right before the duel.
Did Howe ever go anywhere?
He's staying.
He's still at Northwestern.
He's at Northwestern.
They just fought the power.
Okay. Good for them.
Good for Andrew Howe.
Yes, absolutely.
So so that's happening tonight. Are there any other duels tonight,
Jermichael? I don't know.
Let me check.
Okay. So that'll be exciting to watch. We'll have a live blog on that one, I believe.
American and George Mason also tonight.
Okay. Beltway battle.
Oh, yeah.
Then Friday starts to really pick up steam. Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Iowa, Princeton, Oklahoma, Arizona State.
We'll be watch partying.
You're going to be partying in the streets till the break of dawn. Okay. Ohio State, Virginia Tech. This is a very exciting duel. You have the top matches of the weekend. You want to go through this with your lines, JD?
Let's do it.
I like this.
Sure, let me pull the...
So speaking of the Virginia Tech-Ohio State duel, we've got Sammy Sasso versus Bryce Andonian. Interesting match. Bryce Andonian's kind of crazy. He does a lot of wild stuff. Sammy Sasso.
So wild.
Everyone knows what he does. JD set the line here at 2.5 points for Sasso. So we're going to do our picks against the spread, Ben. All three of us.
Yeah.
We'll see who's the most. But JD thinks he's smart because he said a match was happening. And now he's some, you know, Svengali, some predictor, some, you know, crystal ball.
If it happens.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens when he has to make a prediction.
Can't we just pick both of those? Because we would have 41. We'd have real Woods. So... Yeah, we just pick.
we're talking about Sasso Andonian. We'll get.
You said you just said if it happens, and I'm looking at the if it happens.
I was talking.
Do you see one match is labeled if it happens?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I thought
I did say those three words, but I wasn't.
If it happens, so I went down to the one that was labeled if it happens.
I mean, should we just talk about that one?
Okay, if Jay Navis wrestles Yanni Giacomohalis. He says it's a 3.5 point favorite for Yanni. What do you think about that?
I'd probably slant a little more because Abbas generally shoots quite a bit, and being on Yanni's legs is not the safest place to be. So I'd go for a few more for Yanni. Over.
I take the over as well. One cradle, 6 points.
Yep.
And then Exactly. He's not going to be able to make up the difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, does he, does Abbas say, hey, I know this, this guy, I don't know, maybe plays it a little straight. And someone that's in on a lot of shots has some familiarity with a lot of scrambles and counters and the things you can do. Yes. I wonder if that's an, if that's even an option there.
Abbas look good. Yeah. I'll take Abbas to cover.
Ooh.
Loses by three.
Loses by three?
Okay, but so what if it was the
think
score?
That's absurd.
So I picked the over also if
I'm
he
about to pick the over,
real
but
once.
You know, you two go. I go the other way.
I'm going Yanni on the over versus everybody.
On everybody.
Really?
Yanni has close matches.
Yeah, he has a lot of close matches. He's
real,
not
real. If by everybody, I mean Real Woods or.
Real Woods isn't wrestling. That will not happen. That match will not happen.
Oh, because he's ineligible. Son.
Yeah, he won't wrestle until.
No, he has a thumb injury, I think.
Oh, I thought I heard a rumor he's ineligible.
Well,
but.
I heard. So he like Stanford does quarters, and he. Like will be eligible starting in December because then he gets his class, like his classes in order.
Okay.
Like he wasn't taking enough credits or something like that.
Got it. Okay. Can we talk about Sasso versus Andonian?
I'd love to. Andonian by pin.
Ooh, stop.
No, I'm not calling.
It's the Brent Moore situation all over again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That happened.
Oh my gosh. That happened. He won that match. Brent Moore won that match?
He pinned Sammy Sasso.
Oh, he pinned him, yeah. It was like first duel of the year, right?
Yes.
Son of a gun.
Now, then Sasso did beat him at CKLV a couple weeks later, but.
Well,
yeah.
Convincingly. But in the duel.
2.5 points. I think Sasso covers this.
Sasso's I'm going to go.
A lot of close matches.
I'm going under.
I am too.
I'm saying. Yeah, Andonian scores a couple takedowns early, maybe, and then Sasso claws his way back, wins, but it's, you know, a two-pointer, one-pointer, something like that.
It could absolutely materialize that way.
This is what's hard about folk-style lines is that one turn is 4 points.
Yes.
So it's like
– and well, I think freestyle lines are even tougher because a super competitive match ends in tech all the time.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, folk-style is perfect for lines.
And the other thing with this match is, I mean, so this is why is like, if it is a 2 point match and they're neutral, I could totally see Andonian trying to bomb him with 10 seconds left.
Exactly.
And giving up six. So that, like, that part scares me also.
He's a honey badger. You don't give a rip. I think this could be a really exciting match. If Andonian comes out early, it'll, I don't think Sasso will get it, but I think Sasso is going to come out aware and not get chin and armed or anything.
Chin and arm.
Get the chin, get the arm. I think maybe Buffalo Gap's the only team that calls it that, but that's what we call it. Quincy Monday versus Caleb Young. That's Friday. These two have split. Young won the first one. Monday won the second one. And now
so,
the rubber match.
I want to fight you over your line here, JD, because
– Yeah, I don't like 0.5.
It's just pick a winner because there's literally no way for him to win by less than
0.5.
Basically it's impossible.
Even. Yeah, you should
just said. Call it even.
Yeah, just call it even.
Let's call it even. There we go. We're changing.
Even.
I mean, if he could win by like 0.2 points, then it'd be cool. But he can't. I'm gonna go Monday 3-2.
That was the score last time, I believe.
I'm going.
Dang, everyone's picking Quincy.
Monday 3-2.
Ooh.
He won at home last time, not in Carver.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Caleb Young. I think a lot of Quincy Monday as well. Carver Hawkeye Arena. The momentum should be Iowa's way at this point. I don't know.
Okay, so it's obviously sold out by definition. How many fans show up for this?
Nah, not as many as they would have had the match.
Especially wrestling.
Yeah, well, it's number one versus number two, the golden, you know, the number one wrestler in Iowa history, they would mm-hmm. be there. They're not going to come as exuberantly for Monday Young, but maybe consider that a challenge. Iowa fans, show up. They're gonna break like every attendance record for right ever.
Well, because if they sold the ticket, it counts regardless if they don't show up, right?
Yes.
I believe there's attendance and there's
yeah. It should be that I think they're going to have like the highest average attendance ever this season.
Yeah.
And they're wrestling in the baseball stadium. That's not a home match, but there's going to be a lot of people watching Iowa wrestling live this year.
Wrestling is getting more popular. It's really great.
I love it. 197 in the Oklahoma Arizona State duel. Jake Woodley versus Cordell Norfleet. JD says this is Woodley minus 1.5. I will take, and everyone knows this, I love Cordell Norfleet. I'm going to pick him because he literally beat him last year. And I get points. That's a big win.
You get points. Okay, so let's see. So last year he beat him 4-3 in tiebreaker 2. Mm-hmm. But I thought he lost to him 2 years ago. Hold on, I'm going back to find it. Nope, he did not. I made that up in my head. I'm going to go Norfleet also.
JD, stand by your line.
If it... I want Woodley by 1 point, which is what makes this tricky. You both went Norfleet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man. I didn't realize Woodley had such a terrible record last year. He was 12-10, but took 6
at Nationals. Look at his losses, though. He only lost to,
he had a tough schedule.
But remember, of course, Warner, Elam, Noah Adams, AJ Ferrari, Sloan, Noah Adams, Cordell Norfleet.
All those guys are really good.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Damn.
Woodley's off to a good start. Oklahoma's off to a good start. I'll roll with the momentum. Woodley by 2.
Woodley's a beast. He was the 26th seed, I'm pretty sure. It was something ridiculous.
It was preposterous because he had to wrestle Rocky Elam, which was really super annoying first round. And then I think they ended up wrestling again in the 5th place match.
Yeah, it was a seed that we were like, this is dumb, as soon as we saw it.
So dumb.
But no one thought he would do that, what he did. Well, maybe some did.
Yeah.
We did not. But he wrestled
not
great.
A lot of people.
Next one, Trevor Master Giovanni versus Pat McKee. He's got it at McKee minus 3.5. I'm pouncing all over this. I got Pat covering. I did not like how Master looked against Stanford. I think 3.5. Now it's weird with McKee because McKee will straight up just lose a match he should not lose. And just have
McKee's
a weird
all
one.
Over the place.
So you're not gonna feel like, oh yeah, this is money in the bank because it's Pat McKee, and there's the great Pat McKee, and then there's like, what happened, Pat McKee?
Yeah,
I think.
Don't you remember when he won like 6 matches in a row at NCAAs?
Savage. Yeah. But I think he gets it done. This is at Minnesota as well, right?
I believe so.
I believe we're gonna have Gable.
For the people,
yeah.
Gable.
Gable is literally just doing it for the people.
He's just doing it for the people.
He's the people's champion.
And is.
In a way, there hasn't been a people's
champion.
That's
the
Rock.
You can't steal that. That's the Rock's line. You can't steal that.
Whatever. Is the Rock really the first person that's been referred to as the people's champion?
Yep. First person ever. He is the people's champion. I believe he probably has it trademarked.
What's The Rock's real name again?
Dwayne Johnson.
It doesn't matter what his real name is because Gable's the people's champion.
I can't believe he got me. I was like, what the heck? Why is he yelling at me? Oh, it's a bit. I shouldn't have done that.
Sorry, I probably just blasted people's ears off.
Sorry. Sometimes you got to make WWE references.
That's right.
So, yeah, Gable is the people's champ. Dom Demas, wait, what are you picking in this one?
McKee as well, probably means it won't happen because we all went McKee.
But McKee is someone, if you're a real gambler, and I wish you could gamble really on wrestling.
You love gambling.
McKee's a guy, you just don't gamble on McKee because you don't know what he's going to do, right? You want to gamble on someone more consistent than Mitch McKee because Mitch McKee just does wild stuff.
Well, this is Pat, but...
him either. They both do wild stuff. All the McKees.
There's some swashbucklers for sure. He's 4-0 on the year with three falls and a major. Doesn't matter who he wrestled, to quote JD Rader. Here's his losses last year. Let's see just how strange it was. An 8-1 loss to Cronin, his first match of the year. Spencer Lee doesn't count, wasn't trying. He got majored by Eric Barnett. Was like this.
Okay, but hold on. But he gave up 17 points to Eric Barnett, who later he would pinfall two times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Then he lost to Dylan Shaver 6-5 at Big Ten. This is when we were in total zoinks mode. That was really
like zoinks.
He had the worst Big Tens. He lost to Shaver, D'Agostino, and Ragusan.
But he did pin Barnett. What in the world?
And he pinned Barnett, probably saving his qualification. Then he beats Certain, loses to Latona, really close match, 3-1. Then he goes pin Cody Russell, pin Robert Howard, 9-2 over Teske, pins Eric Barnett, 8-3 over Lamont, 5-3 over Drew Hildebrandt.
That's what I'm saying.
What a monster. Okay.
I know, right?
But now he's that's but then insane. Like
2 years ago, remember he got tech-falled by Devin Schroeder. He got tech-falled by Brandon Paetzel. I mean, he was kind of, you know, he had a few good wins also, but he was kind of all over the place as well.
He's gotten a lot better, I think.
Yes.
I think. So that'll be an exciting one. I'm looking forward to that match. And then the last one that JD put in here, Dom Dimas versus Andrew Alirez. And JD says Alirez -1.5. This is the toughest one for me.
Nah, it feels weird that Alirez is the favorite, but I'm going Dimas. I'm in.
Okay.
Just because I think it's a 1-point match either way.
Yes, I'm going. I'm picking Dimas just straight up here.
Like Alirez could win, really? But I think if he wins, it's by 1 point.
Dimas is due. 2 or something. Like that. Dom Dimas is due.
Dom Dimas is due. Is an alliteration right there.
Triple D. Mountain D. Who you got?
I picked Alirez.
Oh, you got Alirez. You think he wins by 2 or more?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I think Dom Dimas, obviously, he still has a lot of danger. This is actually a kind of common wrestling, I don't know if we'll say problem, but a thing. When you're a little bit too specific in things that you do, people can then start to predict the things that you do, and then it limits the ability to have them successful. So you need to continue to evolve, and then that way you could the great weapons that you have, you can still bring them out, but people are more caught off guard by them because you're also doing other things as well. You know, so obviously we think about the run he had at NCAA's 2019 when he beat up on Nick Lee, and like the thought of that happening again is very far away.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. I think the cut is a thing as well. I think he's big. Mm-hmm. So,
also that would hurt. That would hurt more in the duel than.
Also. Yeah, he might be hurting, but you know, Alirez, he's coming down from 49, so he's not going to be small. I would like to think in this match scale won't be a factor, but you simply don't know. Mm-hmm. Interesting question from a friend. Jesse from Wyoming wants to know, while we're talking about 141, segue here. Jesse from Wyoming wants to know if the field at 41 this year is that much better than 2018 141, which had Yanni, Bryce Meredith, Joy McKenna, Jay Nierman, Nick Lee, Kevin Jack, and Chad Redd.
I say abso-freaking-lutely.
Yes.
I saw this question last night. So I think three of the guys, Yanni, Ironman, and Nick Lee, are obviously still in the field. And if you compare the current versions to the past versions, right, so this is a 4 years ago, like this Nick Lee kills that Nick Lee, for sure. And I got to assume this Yanni beats that Yanni, and this Ironman beats that Ironman. And in a couple of those cases, I don't really think they're all that close. In the Ironman case, I think it could be close. In the Yanni and Nick Lee case, I don't think it's that close. I think those are significant upgrades. And then I would then also, I think Joe McKenna made a jump after this year. And so then I would put Stevan Micic above those guys, and I would put Sebastian Rivera above those guys. So, yes.
I don't know if I would put Rivera above a Meredith or a McKenna. But he doesn't have to be.
Really? He beat Spencer Lee twice.
That 125.
It's 41.
Listen, he beat the GOAT. He beat one of the GOATs.
Okay, well, how did that translate to last year?
I mean, Nick Lee's really, really good. He got a lot better. I mean, there was the one loss. Who did he lose to in the third place match? That was Tariq kind Wilson. Of surprising.
He lost to Tariq.
Yeah. He got majored
15-5.
That was kind of surprising. I did not see
So it's like, yes, he beat Rivera, but or he beat Lee, but different weight, different guy. I mean, I don't see a scenario where Miocic would get, you know, buried like that. Or Meredith or McKenna, right? Like those guys are just not losing those kind of matches, especially those last couple of years. And I think McKenna was really good that year. That was the year he took neutral against Bryce, and it was a 1-0 loss.
Yeah.
From remembering correctly. So, but that all that being said, as great as Bryce and McKenna were, I still think this year's 141 is better. Just because the high end of Yanni, best version, we think. Nick Lee for sure, best version. Jaden for sure, best version. Plus, you've got Rivera. Plus, you've got Miocic. And Chad Red negates Chad Red, we think. So, really tough way. And now you've got Andrew Alirez is in the mix. And you've got Dom Dimas still in the mix. There's just a lot of dudes. And there's guys I'm sure I didn't mention that are going to be factors here. I mean, Tariq Wilson's back, right?
Yes.
He bumped
also,
up.
That's right. He went up, yeah. Dusty or Carter Young apparently majored Dusty Hone in the wrestle off last night.
Wait, what? Where do you find this information?
Adam Engel, he's a OSU sports media reporter.
Okay.
So Carter Young majored Dusty impressive. Hone.
They had two wrestle offs, he won both, he majored him. He won 10-2 and I'm trying to find 7-1.
Let's look up how many times Dusty Hone has been majored.
So I was already on my way there.
Demas majored him. Ian Parker did not. 5-4 against Lenny Peterson. Don't know who that is. 3-1 loss
against
to Demas.
4-3 against Demas.
Majored by Max Murin. Majored by Murin. So it happens, but the people that have done it are really good.
Yes.
And, I mean, Hone's been on campus for 2 months, 3 months, whatever. So only going to get better.
Really, those are the only two. Those are the only two majors I see: Dom Dimas and Max Murin. Oh, Caden Gfeller.
Gfeller beat Voinovich.
It is a long time ago.
He did?
Really?
Yes. 8-4 with riding time.
Ooh, any other good results?
That's about it.
Did AJ Ferrari win his wrestle off?
He did not wrestle off.
Ooh. Interesting.
Wow. Who did he lose to? Okay. Are these results online so I can go look at these results or no?
It's just this guy's Twitter.
Yes, Adam
Only
Engel.
Only through back channel
Shout out
stuff.
To Adam Engel. Adam Engel 9.
Yeah. Get his followers up.
But so why is juicy. That? Why
I can't. So Carter Young is going to be at this weight too. We don't know how good he's going to be at folk style at the NCAA level, but we know he's pretty freaking good. No one's going to be super pumped to wrestle him, I don't think.
I don't think so.
And if he can major Dusty Hone... That says a lot. Okay, some other around the horn here. Stanford's wrestling Cornell, Oklahoma State, Minnesota. Any other big matches in that duel that we should look forward to? 57, Brayton Levers, Wyatt Sheets could be cool. But it's really the return of Gable to Minnesota, which will have people super excited.
I feel like Oklahoma State would have had a bunch of solid wrestle-offs because they have a very – deep roster. Too bad they didn't put him out there.
Well, I think they also had some wrestle-offs earlier in the year. This was like a second set where they probably only did a limited amount.
I think Montalvo might be injured. Him versus Gear would have been a good match, I believe. But I think Montalvo's hurt, so Gear's going to be the guy. I mean, they talk Gear into coming back. You have to figure they really want him to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Sheets, Brayton Lee... Kind of nice.
Columbia wrestles Michigan, correct, this weekend?
Mm-hmm. It's the EIWA duel of the week.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. 25 should be a decent match there.
Yeah, Ragus and Span. That's Buffalo. Sorry.
Buffalo.
Mancio versus Medley, I think, would be the matchup there.
Mm-hmm.
So, excited to watch Columbia's progress. Michigan, obviously, a super tough task for them.
And hopefully we get to see Michich.
Yes.
I just want to see him at 41, you know? I want to see him wrestle some folks out.
No doubt.
As much as it pains me to say.
Yeah, so quite a few competitive duels for EIWA's out in the streets. They're going to wrestling. Cornell's wrestling Stanford. Princeton's wrestling Iowa. Columbia versus Michigan. Some tough duels coming up. Army versus Penn State. My gosh. Chill out, EIWA. It's a really tough schedule. Should be an exciting weekend of duels. All right. Get to some more questions.
So many questions today.
From Siowa 14. If you could pick one major conference school in Texas to add wrestling, who would it be, and how fast could they be good?
Why is this even a question? It's freaking Texas, right?
UT, baby. Come right here. Deep in the heart of Texas. But UT doesn't want it. There's some jabronis. Their administration's kind of... Okay.
So what are you picking? Like Rice or a private university or something to that effect?
Well, I'm picking... If Texas A&M? If I just have my opinion, if my will could just be enforced, it would be UT.
My will will be enforced.
Yes. But this is America, and we can't make people do things sometimes.
Texas, yeah, they're pretty manly at Texas A&M.
They could do it. Agricultural, mechanical. What's more manly than that?
Not much.
Texas State.
He said not much.
Texas State just on the road. San Marcos. Right? Isn't that where Texas State's at?
They have Boco, the Bobcat. That's their...
They are the Bobcats.
I'd take anything, really. Not Baylor. Any of them. Terrible. Terrible.
Why not Baylor? What's wrong
terrible
with
institution. That's got to be...
Yeah, they're...
I don't know how they're allowed to compete in sports.
Wait, I mean, what's wrong? I don't even know.
They covered up... So many sexual assaults for their basketball and football team. Oh my, Ben, just Google it. It is probably 2-3 years ago. It's just like got to be one of the worst scandals ever. Yeah. I don't know how they're able to compete. I mean, they've given schools the death penalty for so much
in Texas. SMU.
Wow.
SMU. I mean, that was a long time ago. I have no idea how this happened.
Okay, I did not know that about Baylor.
Terrible. Trash. Well,
not Baylor. Also, I hate Waco. I'll go to Texas A&M. Yeah, they seem like honorable gentlemen because you hate Texas.
But UT would be awesome.
You know what? As many times I've been to Austin, it's probably been 10 now, I've never been on UT's campus.
It's
kind of downtown. Ashamed of it or something?
It's right down.
You probably went through it and didn't realize it.
Probably not, actually. I've never, literally, I had to go.
You've never been through it?
Never until last
week. Sometimes you don't realize you're in it. Like,
and then I just look around look
campus.
Up.
No, like, it doesn't look like a campus.
Yeah, it's not that cool of a campus. Like, it's not very college-y.
No, it just seems like you're in the city, and then you're like, oh, there's kids with backpacks around.
Why are there so many backpacks? Man, Austin loves backpacks. Oh, wait, I'm in the school.
They love Ethan Lezak.
Yeah, they love him here. See, that's why they should start the program.
So we're going, this is north of downtown. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been up that way.
Yeah, you probably haven't. I had never been through it until I 2 weeks ago. I was like, you know what? I've never walked around this campus. I've lived here since 2016. So I did. It's all right. Does RBY have a job lined up at Valiant Prep for next year? What would he teach? This is from Roy Dahl, jazz legend.
Yeah. Valiant Prep should be hiring him as a consultant, maybe.
Social media marketing.
Yeah, they don't need you full-time, RBY. You can go do your wrestling thing or fighting thing or whatever thing you want to do. But I would hire him as a consultant if I was Valiant Prep. You know, come in, do a little camp, take our guys on some transmission, show up a few tournaments, that type of thing.
Yes. Oh, this is a good question. I think it's from an actual cannibal. It is. With his big move and top wrestling capability, would Bo Nickel not be the most dangerous falls-only wrestler today?
I'll tell you, he absolutely. So let me. I'll tell you my toughest ones. Falls only in America. David Taylor. David Taylor is very high up there.
Anyone with a cradle series.
Bo Nickel
is super
very high up there. Well, I'm thinking size too. So we're going old UFC days. So Mason Paris will be very high up there.
Yeah, then you just go the heavy.
Okay. Yeah.
No, there's some heavyweights I'm not all that worried about. No big deal, Bubba. But Mason Paris, I'd be worried about Mason Paris. That'd be tough.
He pinned a one on Amir Zahre.
Yes.
David Bray will never let us forget.
Yes, he won't.
I think Nickel and Taylor they're obviously both great pinners and have a lot of unique ways to do it. So that those two are definitely to be concerned about. Who else? Those are my top three.
Somebody left a voicemail asking you to do one with Jason Nolf.
That'd be fun.
They say he's really strong.
He's really strong. I've wrestled him a couple times. He's strong. He's very strong. Doesn't look like it. Very
Mike's,
strong.
Mike said the same thing. He's like, holy cow. This dude's freaky. Okay. See, I think, Bo would be up there. I like Bo in a falls-only scenario because of the feet-to-back capability, too.
Yeah.
Bo Nickel versus Bryce Andonian. That's
Who says no?
Oh, Andonian's getting pinned like 100 times in a row.
Yeah, you're not pinning him.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you do a pinfall falls-only match with Daniel Lewis?
People just want to see Ben do.
Missouri on Missouri crime, apparently. Yeah. I've wrestled
Who's
Daniel
the real Tiger times. King?
Tiger King. It'd make me a belt and I'm in.
Okay. We got we have a belt guy, right?
This is the real Tiger
King. We got a belt guy. So that's no problem. Okay.
Daniel Lewis actually is not. I mean, he is a great pinner. I don't want to belittle him. He's good at what he does. But if we're talking really high level, he's not as scary as a Taylor or a Nickel because
he's not as diverse.
He's not as diverse. You kind of know how he's going to try to pin you. Whereas Taylor and Nickel could kind of come out of nowhere with some things.
I mean, Taylor was bar halfing dudes at the World Championships. I believe the World Semis. Yeah. He advanced via bar half. That's pretty rare.
Yes.
I think it's an interesting question from Blaze at Ohio Jaguar. Sounds dangerous. If the NCAA tournament was freestyle, would your weight by weight championship picks be the same as they were for folk style?
This year?
Yeah. So let's go through it. 25.
I need to pull up the rankings. Give me 10 seconds.
Well, I'll give you a spoiler alert at 25. Spencer Lee's number one.
That was an easy one.
33 is interesting if you picked Roman Bravo Young.
Yeah.
If you picked RBY, then I think you would probably have a different answer if it were freestyle. Well, you should.
Yes.
By law.
Yes.
Pick Dayton Fix. I picked Dayton Dwayne to win it. I think you guys picked Roman, though.
I didn't. I was.
I think I picked Dayton.
Okay. Maybe. No, that's what happened. We all picked Dayton. And I was like, oh, we probably messed that up. But we'll see. I feel good about it. I'm not changing it.
41, they're all good at both. There's
literally,
not, like,
though, I picked Yanni, and literally Nick Lee just beat him in freestyle. It's so weird that we would consider Yanni maybe to have less of an advantage in freestyle against someone. But I just kind of, you know what? Some matches I just am like, I don't know if that was the real thing. I think that was sad Yanni. This could fall under the didn't count, wasn't trying clause. The Nick Simmons.
That top five, they're all really good. I mean, obviously, they've all had high-level freestyle and folk-style success, so I don't really feel like there's one that leans too far either direction.
I don't think anybody would
much
pick
better.
Alirez, but he definitely creeps a little more into the conversation in freestyle.
Yes, that's a great point, Jermichael Dean.
Great point.
149, who we got? We got Sammy Sasso, Tariq Wilson, Yahya Thomas. Yahya's really good at freestyle. But I still pick – Sammy's good at freestyle, even though he has a very folk-style catered style.
And he hasn't competed in freestyle in a lot, correct? He competed in junior trials against Brayton Lee, but he hasn't really wrestled since then?
Well, there's – not a ton, but – no, I'm agreeing.
Okay.
You said since when?
19, he had the Brayton Lee.
He did the RTC Cup. Series.
Yeah, which was about a year ago.
And lost to Yanni.
That happens. Okay, 57. I think I would pick David Carr in freestyle.
Damn, Deacon's good at freestyle, though.
He is. Ooh, but did Carr... Carr beat him in freestyle. I'm almost positive. At Senior Nationals.
What, at the Senior Nationals in Iowa City or whatever?
Yes, Coralville. The Coralville Classic, as no one's ever called it.
In the Extreme Arena.
Throw up your exes.
Yeah, I mean, Brayton Lee's another one that I would say Brayton Lee's better at freestyle than folk style, for sure.
But I don't think I would pick him to beat David Carr.
I would not. No.
165 is interesting because Shane Griffith is not super freestyle-y.
This is one where I don't think you could pick the top three, actually, in your rankings currently. Griffith, Wenzel, Marinelli all have not had decent freestyle success.
There's a couple creeps in here, guys. They're creeping up the list because they're freestyle. One, Carson Karchla. The other one, Anthony Valencia. That guy has some bodies.
That one's weird. That one's weird how much better he is at freestyle than folk style.
Yeah. Super
weird.
Very strange, but
he doesn't like the extreme arena, though.
Not a fan. Well, Hayden Hiley put him up in the ninth. He put him in the concession stand.
Yeah, and then obviously Keegan's had junior world champion, and then Evan it was third place at the trials. So, yeah, I definitely think the top three are moving down in this one because none of them have had good success in freestyle.
Well, honestly, this is out of ignorance, but I'm not aware of a Shane Griffith freestyle result.
I don't think he does.
I'm not either.
He might be just one of those guys that doesn't do it. One of the few.
There's not a lot. Yeah, there's very few more. But Wenzel, does Wenzel? Because I don't remember Wenzel wrestling freestyle.
Oh, here we go.
2019 juniors. He lost to David Carr in the finals at 74 kilos.
All right, so he's done.
Who did?
Shane Griffith.
Sure, okay. So he's done. I want to say that was his only tournament ever or something like that. I think someone
doesn't look like it. Looks like he's done a decent bit.
He was still at Fargo.
Fargo Cadet.
He made the finals in 2019, lost to Aaron Brooks.
That happens.
No, that was juniors. Never mind. That was not Fargo.
He blacked out. Fine. So maybe Griffith climbs up a little bit more. Maybe don't throw him all the way down. 174. Dude, if you pick... Well, I pick Kimmer, but I would definitely pick Starachi in freestyle.
Yeah, Kemmer's not great. I mean, the other guy that bumps up here, I think, is Hayden. I think he bumps up. And Makai's up to junior world champ, too.
Starachi. Ooh, Makai, yeah. Well, Starachi just beat Jason Ulf. Jason Ulf just went with Jordan Burroughs. I think.
Once again, another backside Nick's Temet clause.
This is an Ulf didn't count, wasn't trying. That's going to be my favorite. I'm going to refer to that on every show, probably. Funny. Okay, so I'm sticking with Starachi, but yes, there's some Starachi creeps. 84, AB all day, although there's an Olympic bronze medalist. This match is going to happen.
Yeah, picking Aaron Brooks? All these guys, the top four are all good at freestyle because Heidley has beaten that said Olympic bronze medalist in a freestyle match. Mm-hmm. Parker almost made it. He lost Aaron Brooks to make the junior world team.
Yes, all true facts. I'm sticking with Brooks. I think he would win in freestyle. So you're convinced though. You're considering it, but not that strongly.
No, I would pick Aaron Brooks. I guess I'm kind of what I'm looking at his weight classes is like, is there a big difference between the people how I think about them in freestyle and folk style? And the majority of the weight classes, the answer is no, I think about them relatively similarly. Obviously, there's been a couple weight classes that are off, but the majority are, I think about it the same way.
Yes. Okay.
I'm mad at Michael Miles.
I ain't mad at it.
The Heidley beat Miles.
Hmm? Heidley beat Miles.
That was in the past.
This is now, Caleb
Miles.
That was
a year ago, right?
Yeah, it was December.
Still the past.
Yeah. So 11 months ago.
Who's to say? 197, Ferrari, Dean, Warner, Elam, Braxton,
This one's, there's a bunch of guys who are.
It is sassy. Not...
I would still go Ferrari.
Man, he looked so good against Stimmett, who started it. But Braxton literally is a junior world champ, as is Rocky.
I mean, AJ Cadet World Silver. For tossing out.
I thought it was bronze.
Or bronze, sorry.
Cadet World, not gold.
Correct.
We can just say that.
And Max Dean but has he didn't had try some good wins,
junior,
right?
So it doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Yeah, Max, I don't think he's not as good at freestyle as he is folk style.
Because didn't Rocky Elam beat him at senior nationals pretty bad?
Well, I remember Max lost to Chris Foca in freestyle.
Foca, yeah.
Ben Darmstadt is super good at freestyle. Fargo champ, so he could climb.
He has not had a lot of success though recently.
He has not yet won the Olympics, no. But his day,
no.
Is still
but
coming.
He hasn't even been like top five at senior nationals or something.
That's your opinion. I think I'll still stick with Braxton. I mean, I picked Braxton to win in folk style, so
wow.
In freestyle is the best style. So I don't think I can. There's no turning back. This could be one of my worst takes ever. But you know what? At least I said it. I didn't just loosely allude to something like JD with the Rob O'Connor match, you know, just saying the names.
Now
he's some wrestling genius.
Go back and play the tape. I said that's going to be a good match. And guess what? It was a good match.
Okay. I apologize, JD. very good. Very good. Okay, and heavyweight. Gable is vulnerable. Gable's vulnerable.
No, but all these guys, we got a junior world champ, we got a U23 world champ, we got a Greco guy, we got a Cadet world champ. Jordan Wood's been on the world team.
Cadet world silver, yes. So yeah,
Jack Elam's junior world silver.
Yeah,
Wyatt Henderson junior world team. Lucas Davidson junior world silver. Hey, dare I say. Maybe it's a little bit easier to win a world medal at heavyweight than other weight classes.
Some people were big mad at you, Ben, yesterday.
Well, my suggestion for saying that?
Well, people just thought you were disrespecting heavyweights.
I think we could just look at the statistics and we could really bear that argument out very simply.
Well, our argument wasn't a statistical argument. It was...
Which one? The one yesterday we were talking about from a technical perspective?
Yes.
You're a moron if you think I'm wrong there. I'm sorry. I will not hear your argument. You're an idiot.
All right. Put him in a coffin.
There's just no debate on that one.
I mean, I agreed with you.
I wish Ollie were here to talk about the nuances of heavyweight hand fighting that you've never understood, Ben. You've never understood heavyweight hand fighting.
I am an elite heavyweight hand fighter. I can hand fight with the best heavyweights. You know, I trained a lot with Mark Ellis and Don Bradley, hand fought with all of them.
What did they ever do?
When I was helping with Wisconsin, I would wrestle live with Hilger one time a week. Yeah, I have a very good understanding of heavyweight. You have to wrestle a very specific style to be good at heavyweight, but there's limitations of what you can and can't do or shouldn't do. We have at heavyweight, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think we have 9 world medals right now in the heavyweight rankings.
That's a good several.
That's a lot.
So it's really anyone's game. Who knows who would win if these guys all wrestled freestyle? Put it in a hat, draw. Oh, no way to know. No, that's game. That was a fun question, though. Great question.
That was a good question.
Let's give additional props to whoever said that. Blaze.
Just Blaze.
Better not be a marijuana reference.
The Ohio Jaguar.
All right. That sounds cool. Maybe he's just fast. Not messing with the devil's lettuce. Okay. What NCAA champion do you guys believe had the worst regular season in terms of losses and wins, not counting injury? So I guess
in the history?
I don't know. Let's just do recent history.
Got it. It's obvious. Quentin Wright. He was a bum, and then he went NCAAs.
Mark Branch.
Honestly, I would say I was more surprised when Miles won than when Quentin won. Because 84 was sort of anyone's game. Quentin had won Big Tens, which had a ton of really good guys. Miles Martin
was the 11? Was the 11 or 6?
Oh, wait. He was, 11, or, I think. Or more. 2016.
That's a good argument. Mark Branch, that's not my era. I don't know anything about that era. I know he had a terrible record, and that's all I know.
Didn't he have a losing record going into NCAAs? Like 8-9 or something like that?
6-8, I thought.
Or 6-8?
Yeah, that's definitely a fact. He was below 500 going into that.
You guys all went silent?
That tournament. You can't hear me? We did nothing different. Uh-oh.
Freak.
Nothing's changed. Ben can't hear anymore. We may have lost Ben.
Did Ben
go
deaf?
Can you hear
me?
Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yep. We can hear you, buddy.
What the?
So Miles was the 11 seed. That him beating Bo, when I'm pretty sure Bo had beaten him every time that year, was a big shock. And then let's look at that, the entirety of that bracket. I think that's it for me. The biggest surprise. I just did not think going into that weekend there was any scenario. And then the bracket fell apart a little bit, sort of, with Blaze Butler of Missouri losing round one to Matt Reed. So he hit Bryce
Miles
Hammond.
Lost to Mike Ottinger in January regular season that year.
Yes. And he had Leland Weatherspoon.
Devontae Mahomes.
He had unseeded Leland Weatherspoon in the semis.
Jacob Morrissey. I'm just listing his losses.
Wait, Miles lost to Jacob Morrissey? No, I don't think so. Are you sure I won a medical forfeit?
Okay, yeah, I misread that one. Sorry.
Come on, dog.
No. 11-8.
What?
11-8 in the Ohio State-Purdue duel.
I don't think that's real, but maybe it is. That's the biggest surprise for me, I think, in terms of NCAA champions.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Nickel was like, although me, hold on, let me go back. Now I'm getting my Bo stuff. Oh, Bo lost to Nate Jackson that year. Mm-hmm. That was his only loss. Ben, can you hear us yet, or is he still? I guess not. He's still feverishly working to get back. Dave's having Ben's having quite a few issues today. Very unfortunate. So yeah, I think good question. I think that's my answer.
That's cool.
Which classic cars would you choose for investment purposes? For me, I prefer to have doubles, the Beretta, the Nova. Triples of some of them.
What's the most expensive car? That's the one I want for my investment.
Yeah, what is the most expensive car? Wonder what it is.
Probably
a Bugatti.
Oh, yeah.
A La Voiture Noire. The most expensive car in the world, officially, with a price tag of $18.7 million.
Cool change.
What in the heck, fire? That's just absurd. What can be in that car? There has to be a house in the car.
The toilet, at least.
The least a toilet. I better be able to relieve myself. How many PS5s can you put in a car?
How much horsepower does that even have? Does it even match up to a 2012 Nissan Frontier? Probably not.
Probably not. And that's what
you can't even do truck stuff in that thing.
You can't. It has. You can't haul jack in this thing.
That's right.
Who's fixing this Bugatti when it goes down? You can't turn it into, you know, Jukes Auto.
That's right.
Which is a great place. So I think we might have lost Ben for the show. We could just.
I think Ben's making excuses, just taking a weekend early.
Yeah, he's probably just got to pee, and he's just trying to go.
That's the old classic, you know. Oh, I can't hear you. We're breaking
what,
up.
What? Oh, yeah. That's probably big in the Zoom streets for these college kids that are, you know, they don't want to go to class. It's like, oh, I don't want my internet. Technical I don't know what issues. Happened, dude.
Yeah, internet's down.
Yeah, sorry. I tried so hard to be there.
He tried at the beginning.
He tried. Yeah. He tried. So we're going to go.
Hey, now that he's off, I think.
Oh, yeah, make fun of him.
Since Ben hates heavyweights, we should play a heavyweight clip to exit this show.
Yes, because we love heavyweight wrestling.
That's right.
Straight on double. Come on. All right. Here we go. You guys still here?
Spey. I mean, he's a survivor. Straight. He is Destiny's Child. I'm glad he made it through that because Don Bradley, if you don't remember this clip, it's the iconic Don Bradley running Yusuf Hamida through an entire table. He didn't slow down for 1 second. And, you know, we love Don Bradley for it. So we're going to go. Thank you guys so much. A fun, fun weekend of wrestling coming up. Stay tuned on the Penn State Army duel. We'll have some coverage of that. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thanksgiving week. Exciting times. And that's it. We're only doing Tuesday show next week. So we'll have the weekend recap and preview and all that stuff and maybe some stuffing debate. Who knows? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back.
Tune into the watch party.
Thank you. Yes, tomorrow. Watch party. Thank you. See you. Goodbye.